thanks to Bob Grove. And we're going to bring in our next guest now. Our next guest is a magician and a comedian. He has performed all over the country. Please welcome to the show, TJ Hill. TJ Hill. Now, this guy, if you haven't seen him, great magician. He is a workhorse. This guy hustles. Like, I kind of let things happen. This guy makes things happen. TJ, you're always busy. Tell us, just first question right off the bat, what's the most shows that you've done in a day?
First off, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Did you just hear me scream out there?
No.
Thought I interrupted the show. I got my high score on Color Switch.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, had to throw that in there. Sorry. Yeah. You a Color Switch guy?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, got to get with it with the Color
Switch.
You know
what Switch. Color Switch is? Nobody?
Oh, awesome. Anyway, so most shows I've ever done in a day.
In a day.
In a day. I think I've crammed five into a day at one point. I have five mediocre shows in a day.
That equals two good ones.
Yeah. Yeah, five mediocre shows. I'm cutting them short and running from one place. And what's crazy is sometimes I'm going from, like, I'm doing, like, a show for, like, the CEO of Nabisco or something.
Uh-huh.
And then I got to jump in the car and get out of my suit and tie. And then I got to run and do a show for, like, a bunch of screaming four-year-olds in, like, some back part of Dormont. Uh-huh. Like, some random house. So I'm just, like, cramming shows in all day, yeah.
So would you rather be in a room full of kids, college students, adults, or seniors?
I like the shows that pay the most.
That's the main thing. As long as you had to pay the most.
No, I don't know. I guess it's. I would say my bread and butter is family shows.
Okay,
I'm a great. I hate denying what I think I'm best at, but I think I'm mm-hmm. I think I'm the best at family performing. If I had to pick,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to break into some different markets, but it keeps leading me back to that like family show.
Because yours is different. You've performed at restaurants, people's houses, comedy clubs, and big theater, like you know, the theaters and everything like that.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten heckled?
Yes.
I didn't know. I didn't know because I know, but that's a common
thing.
What kind of
question is that?
Comedians. Have you ever?
Softball question from a comedian.
Never seen anyone though.
Yeah. Well, I'm throwing comedy into the show too.
Right.
So
right.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget. There's this guy. I was doing a show at this place called Olivia's. It's just like this banquet room, and I had the crowd going. And there's the one guy in the front, and he's sitting in the front, and I knew he was going to be the problem person. Like, I knew it right away.
Yeah, yeah. You can spot them early.
Right. Right away, I knew he was going to be the problem guy because he was drunk right away. And I was trying to kind of, like, hush him. You know, I was trying to, like, I was always giving him, like, little jabs, you know, little quips here and there. And as I turn around to go grab one of my props, he goes, "Hey, Baldy." He goes, "Why don't you magically make some hair appear on your head?" She was like, just it like completely diminished my self-esteem like immediately.
Did the crowd laugh?
Oh, they all laughed.
Oh, that's the worst when a heckler gets a laugh.
Yeah, I was like, how do I come back from this one? This guy, I got to let out all my insecurities on this guy now on stage. The heck? I need a therapy session after that show.
Oh, that's a rough one. Sorry I brought that up.
Oh, it's all right.
Who are your magic influence, magic and comedy influence? Who'd you grow up and anyone that inspired you and like, man, I got to do this. This looks awesome.
I saw a show when I was 9. Mm-hmm. Maybe 10. I was 9 or 10 years old. I was at a church camp, and I saw a show of a guy named Joey Rosick, who did magic on the side. And the late, great Joey Rosick from Newcastle, PA. That's where I'm from.
Your hometown, Newcastle.
Mm-hmm. And Joey did a children's show, and it was so colorful, so amazing. And I was just completely hypnotized by the show. And I remember afterwards I went up. And I started touching all of his props and, like, grabbing stuff.
That's what magicians like.
Yeah, and then he just shooed me away. And immediately I asked my parents, I'm like, I want to learn magic. And they took me to the closest magic shop, which was the Cuckoo's Nest. And
down on the south side.
On the south side, exactly. And that was the start of something amazing. I was just obsessed. I was always fascinated by illusion and, mm-hmm. and just performance art. And my very first trick was this thing. It was called Nickels to Dimes.
Uh-huh.
You take four nickels, you cover them with a cap, you lift the cap, and there's four dimes.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'd be fascinated by that right now.
Women
I would
just
watch
start
that.
Taking their undergarments off
that's
and throwing
them
at you. Yeah, that's how it all started.
Now, have you ever had, like, this would be, I don't know if I've ever seen this. Have you ever had a trick go wrong where you miscounted, you dropped something, maybe you revealed something, and you had to cover it up? Has that ever happened to you?
Everything I've had, I'd say every single trick I've ever learned has gone wrong probably 1,000 times before it went right.
Really?
It's just like putting a bit together.
Uh-huh.
Like when you do bits,
yeah,
you have to put together a certain – you know the cadence. You know the timing.
And it's tough trying one because you have no idea whether it's going to work or not.
Right. And that's the scary part.
That's the same. Yeah, it's the same thing.
You have to have the audience spinning like a plate on a stick for 50 minutes, which might not seem like a long time to someone, but – that's 5 minutes is a long time on stage.
It
so
is.
I've had a lot go wrong. I do this illusion where I make someone float on stage. I have this it's called a chair suspension. And I lay someone down on there, and there's this elegant music. And then they start to, like, raise into the air, and I move one of the chairs out of the way. And it's like getting all serious. And I remember I first bought this illusion. I thought it was going to be the greatest thing ever. The whole thing just collapsed. Everything fell. Kid banged his head off the ground. I was like, whoa, whoa. It's like there's no recovering from this at this point. I don't think there's any way to really recover after that except, like, all right, let's move on.
That's a rough one. I'm going to give you a chance here to name drop. I've known you for a little while. I've known you've got to work for some A-list celebrities. Go ahead. Name drop some people that you've performed for.
I got to do this right now?
Just a couple.
This is all right, Christina Aguilera.
What was she like?
Do you want the podcast answer or you want the real answer?
I want the real answer.
You want the real answer.
I want the real answer.
Well, I did a she was nice to me, I think, because I had something to offer.
Right.
You know, I was performing for her.
You were entertaining her.
Yeah. But kind of a bitch to most of the people in that were there though. Most of the staff
heard
and
that,
the
really.
Staff. Yeah, yeah, most of them. But she wouldn't go to the bathroom in the downstairs bathroom of where we were until they cleaned it and sanitized it for her because she said that the bathroom wasn't appropriate enough to her liking.
That's the demand I make here.
Yeah.
No. What anyone else? I know Alec Baldwin's another one. He seems like – he's a very good actor, but he seems like he's kind of a jerk based on – but I've never met him, so I can't say.
And that's crazy. TMZ and all these places, they – portray these people. He was great to me.
Really?
Fantastic. Obviously all the Pittsburgh celebrities, but I used to do magic through a company here in Pittsburgh who would send me to the Post-Gazette Pavilion. It was at the time. Now, First Niagara, did it change again? What?
I don't know what it is now. What
is it? It's now KeyBank Pavilion.
Oh, it's KeyBank.
KeyBank Pavilion.
I will chime in there. It is KeyBank Pavilion.
Yeah,
Tyler's our most up-to-date person.
Okay. I thought it was Lorenzo's Pizza Pavilion.
Someday.
Either way, it's very bad.
We're going to Lowe's.
Right. But I used to do the VIP tent there. So pretty much all the celebrities that would come through, their families would be there all day just sitting, waiting for their – whoever to go on stage. So they had nothing to do all day while the crew was setting up the act and the show. So I got to meet a lot of their families and friends and things like that. But the Black Eyed Peas, I got to meet Fergie and all those guys. That was a lot of fun. Super cool, though. You know, I get to, like, do something I love and, like, meet some cool people along the way. So,
Were there any entertainers in your family? My dad's a musician, and he worked, like, full-time on a railroad, but he played bass and guitar like in a band on the weekends and stuff, and I have zero music ability, but I like the idea, you know, of going out and seeing perform in front of a crowd. Are you the first in your family, or are there any line of entertainers
back? I think I'm the first in Newcastle.
You're a groundbreaker.
Yeah, it's when you cross over into Lawrence County, it's like you hear that Deliverance music. It goes like that. But
look out.
No, I love where I'm from. I really do. But to answer your question, no, there's really no performers in my family. My dad is a welder, fitter. My brother's a police officer. My mom just recently retired from a mill up in Elwood City area. So there really are no other – my cousin's a musician, but other than that, I have no idea. I think when I was young, I was just, like, seeking validation from my family. Like, anyone that would anyone that would, like, clap for me for anything. I used to walk across the floor like Pee Wee Herman until everyone would clap, just like doing this. But show business.
Okay.
Background.
You're the groundbreaker in there.
Kind of had to move to Pittsburgh, too, because there's not a lot of people book a magician in Newcastle. It's not the most...
you don't find that on Newcastle Craigslist. Right.
No, you don't.
Magician wanted.
Right, exactly.
So what's some... give me your worst gig and your best gig
Done. I love talking about bad gigs.
I do, too. I ask everyone that comes on that's an entertainer what their worst gig is, because it's just... It's always funny.
I had a show one time... it was for a camp. It was called, I forget what it was, honestly, but it was some camp in Slippery Rock.
Okay.
And basically these, it was ages 12 to 18. Like some of the worst audiences you can have are ages 12 to 18. It's hard, especially for a stand-up show, because they're like too cool to laugh. They're in that phase where they're too cool to laugh. And to be honest, I want to look back and blame it on the audience, but I think it was my fault, to be honest. I think I just sucked.
Like,
I think when you start doing this, and I'm sure you can relate, when you first start doing comedy and magic, you do it not to make a living at.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually it turns into that, but you do it because you seek validation, or you want the attention, or you just really enjoy it. You don't know you're going to make money at it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I get in way over my head, and my agent at the time, who was my first agent, booked me for this show for like big money, like more money than my show was worth. So I show up with a show that's worth X amount of dollars. My show was probably worth like lunch and maybe a fill up for some gas or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not want to pay me after the show.
Oh, man.
And this lady said, I came up to her and I find her after the show and I said, hi, how are you? And I shake her hand and everything. And she goes, I'm good. And I said, so are we ready to start the close up magic portion? And she goes, no, I don't think we are. She goes, I think your agent will be hearing from me. And I was like,
oh my God.
Oh, did something go wrong? And she goes, it just wasn't what we were expecting. And I was like, okay, I'll just go home.
Oh, no.
And check to see if I have load-bearing walls in my apartment so I can hang myself. I felt horrible. I mean, like...
That is terrible.
The only way to get
better...
It's like
doing a job. Nah, we're not going to pay you.
Right. Exactly. Right. Like,
oh,
you stink so bad, we won't even give you, like, a portion.
No, we're not even offering half because we're disappointed.
Exactly. So, I... Yeah, so I just left, and to be honest, my agent was on my side. He just said, hey, the only way to get better at this is to learn from your mistakes, think about what you did wrong. And, you know, at that time, I think I only had a couple minutes of solid material, and the rest was just filler and crap on stage.
Yeah.
But the only way to get better is you just go up there, and it's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of pushing through stuff. You know, and it's hard to understand when you're not in show business, but like Seinfeld says, Jerry Seinfeld says, you got to have 200 – horrible, nightmarish shows before you can get one good one under your belt, you know, and that's like you just got to keep driving through. I say this career takes years of loneliness and self-denial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
it's
the only way to get good at it, you know.
Yeah. TJ Hill, any upcoming shows to promote, and where can we find you on Twitter?
Most of my shows are private, but I do a few public shows. We've been working together on the road.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've done a few shows. This is awesome to even be on the show, man, because you're like an idol of mine, man. This is great.
Thanks.
Like a Pittsburgh master over here, man. I love watching you work on stage. It's fantastic to watch you work the crowd, man. It's great. But the public shows that I do have coming up, I'm going to be at a Slapsticks Comedy Club out in that club in Washington.
Oh, okay.
Crown Plaza.
Oh, that just opened up. That is across from the South Hills Village Mall in the Crown Point. Not Crown Point.
Yeah,
South Point?
No. It's called Crown Plaza South.
That's what it is. That's a nice, that's a great room. Go out and see him. That's with
David Kay.
David Kay. Yeah, David Kay runs that room there. Mm-hmm. And what do you remember the date on that?
It's New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. There's going to be two shows.
Okay.
One at I think 7:30. Okay, I don't even know my own show date.
Yeah, right. New Year's Eve.
Right, New Year's Eve. One at 7:30 and one at 10 o'clock. There's going to be a night show, and I think one of them offers a you get a champagne toast and stuff like that. So it'll be a great show, and David Kaye is also going to be there too, who's a great comedian.
He is, and that's a nice club too. It's a good, tight room. It seats maybe 100, 110. The crowd's really good, so yeah. You'll have fun with that.
Awesome.
And where can we find you on Twitter? You have a lot of Twitter followers.
Yeah, it's Magic Man TJ Hill.
Magic Man TJ Hill. TJ, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's an honor, Mike.
All right,
thank
TJ. You. TJ Hill. Go check him out and follow him on Twitter. Very, very talented magician. Thanks for coming in, TJ.
Thanks, TJ, for sure.
All right. So we want to thank TJ Hill. You can follow him on Twitter. And Bob Grove.